If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8 as we resume our consideration of this particular gospel account. We got up through the end of the Sermon on the Mount and took a little bit of a break in the series of sermons on the faithful sayings. And we'll pick up our account in Matthew 8, the first four verses. Following the reading of Scripture, we'll sing together the Gloria Patri. Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." And God will add his blessing to this reading of his word. Amen. So having completed the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus comes down from the mountain and a great crowd is following him. There was a wonderful reaction to his preaching. Now, even though he preached some very hard things, some of which we looked at particularly there in chapter 7, but even earlier when he's talking about the application of the law and confronting them with their calling and their responsibility, even though he preached some difficult things, yet there was this great crowd that followed him. In part, it could be because of the authority of his teaching, the uniqueness of his and the power of his preaching. If you back up to the end of chapter 7, we read there, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. So in part, it was probably because they saw in Jesus a uniqueness, significance to his preaching, and so they were drawn to him. But Matthew, in his account, is moving not to totally get away from Jesus' words, but he's moving in a general way from Jesus' words to his works as demonstrations of his power and demonstrations of his love and his compassion. There are roughly six instances of his healing that come up in the coming accounts that we read in Matthew. And we're going to look at the first one this morning. And what we have there in verse 2 is the statement, "A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" So the condition of this man who comes to Jesus is that he had leprosy. Now, leprosy is a terrible disease in our day, but it's not the death sentence that it was in ancient times. It's a horrible disease. The name leprosy comes from the Greek word lepros, which means scale. And the disease of leprosy is generally that there's cells that die and there's scales that come over the body and gradually there's a deterioration of the body. There's poor blood circulation, and so portions of the body might fall off or be reabsorbed into the body. It was just a terribly devastating disease then and now, but it's not as horrible now in the sense that there are treatments, there's places people can go, but in that day they had nowhere to go except to be cast out of the community. It was a terrible disease. And Luke, in his parallel account, is a little more descriptive of the man's condition. He says, and as a physician, he's giving you a more full account of the man. He said, "A man came along who was covered with leprosy," who is full of leprosy. So this wasn't a man who had a few spots and a few issues. This man's entire body was consumed by the disease of leprosy. The consequences of the disease of leprosy in that day particularly were severe. When you contracted leprosy, you were separated from your family, separated from the community. You had to live apart, usually in a leper colony of some sort, so you were with other people, but you didn't want to be with them because they were as bad off as you, some worse. It was a terrible situation. So you were separated. There were certain clothing. You had to wear a rag across your face. You had to cry out, unclean, unclean, if you did happen to get out into the community so people would stay their distance from you. And not only were you cut off from your family and separated from society and the community, you were also separated from worship. You couldn't go to worship God. The one place you would have wanted to be able to go to try to get some comfort and direction, you could not go because other people were there and you couldn't be associated with them. And so the consequences of leprosy were very severe. It was a devastating disease, both physically and in every other way. But in the Bible, the meaning of leprosy goes beyond just the disease. That's bad enough, but leprosy becomes a picture of sin. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from other people. And we are, to use Luke's description, we are full of sin from head to toe. As Isaiah would describe it, there are wounds and sores and putrefying sores. We're covered from head to toe by the iniquity that consumes us because of our sinful nature. And you and I are fully contaminated by sin. And so while I'm not distancing ourselves from the actual disease that's represented here in this text, you and I have to understand that you are the leper. That I am the leper. And until you see yourself as the leper, you will never have the opportunity for healing. You are the leper. I'm a leper among lepers. And it consumes us. It corrupts us from head to toe. But this leper comes to Jesus and he has a view of Christ. And he's convinced that Jesus Christ can heal him. And he says to him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He's convinced and he knows and he understands. Whether he knows really who Jesus is, he's probably heard something about him. His address to him as Lord could be, sir, doesn't have to mean that he understands Jesus' deity at this point. But he says, Lord, you can make me clean. You can heal me. He comes to Jesus Christ and he's convinced and he understands that Jesus has the ability to heal him. Once you've understood that you're the leper, you have to understand, come to conviction, that Jesus Christ has something he can do about it. Why would you even come to him if he doesn't? But notice the way he addresses Jesus Christ. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He knows Jesus can heal him. But he doesn't come in arrogantly and say, Jesus, you can do this. I demand that you heal me. I demand that you take the victim mentality that's so often present in people. I deserve to be healed. He doesn't say that. He says, Lord, if you are willing. He puts it all in the hand of the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. He puts it all into the hands of the Lord. He says, I need to be clean. I need to be healed, and I know you can heal. If you're willing, you can make me clean. And he cries out to Jesus Christ and essentially is asking for healing. And the amazing thing the text says next, this is almost more miraculous than the miracle. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Think about that for just a minute. How many decades has it been since this man felt human touch? How long has it been since someone dared to reach out a hand to him? And Jesus Christ reaches out and he touches the man. Now you wouldn't want to touch a leper in that day. It was essentially forbidden to touch the lepers, and the reason was twofold. One, the disease was contagious. You wouldn't want to catch it. But secondly, it's because if you touched a leper, like a dead body or other things in the Old Testament law, if you touched the leper, you were made unclean. And so then you would be forbidden to go into the house of worship without going through a significant period of cleansing. And what's significant about Jesus touching is not only an expression of his compassion to the man, but it's the fact that Jesus wasn't worried about becoming unclean. In fact, he came for that very purpose, to take on our uncleanness and to bear it away. And so he had no fear. He was the Son of God. He reached out. He touched the man. He's filled with compassion for this man. In fact, Mark, in adding to in his parallel account, says exactly those words. Being filled with compassion, he said to the man, I will be clean. The simplest of responses, almost the barest of words. In fact, in Greek, it's only two words. It carries the person and the verb with each word, but it's just two words, I will be clean. A statement of mighty power in those words. It's the compassion of Jesus Christ reaching out to this man who is corrupt, but corrupted by his leprosy. And Jesus, full of compassion, reaches out to him, says, I am willing, be clean. And he heals him immediately. And immediately he's been healed. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. And then the Lord said to him, I want to skip that first phrase, but he tells him to go show himself to the priest. The reason I want to go to that first is, When a leper was cleansed or healed of his leprosy, there was a whole procedure specified in the Old Testament for how all this was to take place. How the cleansing, at least sacramentally and ceremonially, was to take place. It's in that book of the Bible in Leviticus. Tommy reminds us at the beginning of each year to read through the Bible each year, and that's a good thing. It's a good goal. And usually if you're game for that, you start out with Genesis, and that's great. You're doing really well. And Exodus is pretty interesting. The last little bit's kind of tedious. But then all of a sudden, Genesis, Exodus, then you get to Leviticus. And the whole section on leprosy goes on for three or four chapters. And I mean, you just kind of, when is this ever going to end? And then you move on to another series of procedures. And I mean, it's important. I'm not dismissing the scriptures, but it tends to wear us down. And then you get to Numbers, and there's some really great stories in Numbers, but then all those lists. Well, what happened when a leper was healed? Well, a leper would go and appear before the priest, and he would bring as his gift two birds. And one of the birds would have its neck broken and its blood shed over running water. And then the priest would take some of that blood from that bird that was killed, and it would sprinkle it on the other bird, and that bird would be sent away. Well, there's some vivid pictures there, some vivid imagery. The Lord Jesus, how does our cleansing take place? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ came to be crushed for our iniquities, to be bruised for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he had the wrath of Almighty God poured out on him, and he became broken for you. And his blood was shed so that you could be cleansed. And then that bird that's being sent away, the freedom that comes to the person who's been cleansed and redeemed and found and made whole in the Lord, is a picture not only of the shed blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and that other bird that's being sent away is a reminder of the freedom and the wholeness that comes to the person who's redeemed. It's a picture in a way of Jesus' resurrection and his ascension and the freedom of grace into your life when you've been cleansed. Now you're no longer separated. No longer do you have to stay away. Now you come. Come and embrace the Lord, embrace his people, embrace the worship of Almighty God. And that running water is a vivid picture of how the Lord Jesus Christ provides for us the water of life. And it flows in abundance, and out of us will come a river of flowing water. It's rooted in Jesus Christ. We have the blessedness, you see, of restoration and wholeness and forgiveness. And you and I see, we will never experience that if we don't, first of all, again, admit that you're the leper or that I'm the leper. Only then can we be cleansed, and only then can we know the wholeness and the freeness of the forgiveness of sins. Another reason he would have told him to go to the priest is, according to the Old Testament law, it was required to go to the priest. And going to the priest would have accomplished a couple things. One is it would have been an affirmation that the miracle did indeed occur. So in other words, it would be like the testimony in a court of law. Yes, a miracle did occur. This man who was a leper now is free of his leprosy. It also would have been a reminder, whether they would have accepted it or not, a reminder that Jesus was not dismissing the Old Testament law. Even as we went through the Sermon on the Mount and saw how he applied the law in the right way, one of the false accusations against Jesus Christ was that he was throwing out the law and ignoring it, but he's not. He's willing to live under the law as the Son of God. But we have that other statement that Jesus says to the man. Jesus told the man, "See that you tell no one." We have this aspect in the early healings of Jesus Christ, sometimes referred to as the messianic secret. Why in the world did he tell him not to tell anybody? You'd think, go tell everybody. But part of the problem is not that Jesus was unwilling to heal people. As we see in this chapter, he heals a bunch of people. But Jesus was in absolute control of the unveiling of his character, and the unveiling of the fact that he was indeed the Messiah. And he knew that it would, that him being the Messiah would create a conflict as it did between him and the authorities in Israel. In fact, in John chapter 7, we're told that Jesus went around in Galilee and purposely stayed away from Judea because the Jews were waiting to take his life. They, the Jewish authorities, hated Jesus because of his popularity, because of his power, because of his influence, and they sought how they might put him to death. So Jesus was in control of the unveiling of his deity and the unveiling of his character, and so he says to this man, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer a gift." The gift was the birds. The gift was a response of gratitude. You and I are, if when God has redeemed us, how can we not respond in thanksgiving? In whatever way we can, might be in an offering, it might be in service, it might be in compassion toward one another, but whatever it is, we have the calling to respond in gratitude to God's amazing mercy to us. So the questions that come to us from this very simple story is simply, do you recognize yourself as the leper? Apart from Christ, do you see yourself in that way? And have you come to Jesus confident that he can redeem you if he will? Not demanding it, but crying out for it. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And having come to him, have you experienced the freedom and wonder of life in his name? Live in the freedom and the joy of that life that only he can provide for you. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and faithfulness. Thank you for this wonderful account of Jesus' compassion and mercy. Lord, thank you that you have provided that we might be forgiven from our leprosy, our corruption because of sin, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May we know that. May we live in the joy and the delight of that forgiveness and thus bring glory to your name. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.